You're listening to South Florida's good news station, WCNO Palm City.
The civil government does not define your ethic as a Christian. That's critical that we understand that. And now maybe people will become more and more awakened to that.
Hi, this is R.C. Sproul, and I hope that you are listening to Renewing Your Mind on this station every day.
Every day at 10 a.m. and p.m. on 89.9 FM, WCNO, Palm City.
Maranatha Assembly International, a church of worship, the word and healing.
Welcome to the Living Word Radio Broadcast, brought to you by Maranatha International, a church of worship, the word, and healing. Join us for our Sunday services from 10 a.m. to 12 noon. For locations and to sow a seed into this radio ministry, visit our website at maranathainter.org or call 561-383-6574, 561-383-6574. Now, stay tuned for today's message.
Maranatha Assembly International, a church of worship, the word and healing.
Good afternoon. This is Pastor David Ewers with Maranatha International, a church of worship, the word and healing. And I don't know about you, but I'm excited about this day. The scripture says, this is the day that the Lord have made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. I could not even wait to come back here on this Monday afternoon to spend this time with you. I can see that you are right there where I left you. And I'm so excited that you took the time to join us this afternoon to go through the Word of God with me. I just want to say that I love you. Jesus loves you. He loves you with an unconditional love. What I'm going to do is I'm going to open up in prayer, and then we're going to get right into the Word of God. As you know, we have some reggae playing in the background there. You know I'm from Jamaica, so I love me some reggae, especially when you can come and worship Him in your native language. So bear with me, all right? Pray for me. Say, pray for Pastor David Ewers. Pray for me. All right, I'm just going to let down my hair. I think you guys know me by now, so you kind of know I'm kind of passionate about the Lord. And every chance I get to worship Him and to adore Him and to glorify His holy name, I just want to kind of bring you in and just kind of, I want you to join in with me as we go through this time. Amen? All right. Glory to God. Let's pray. Father God, we come before Your presence and we magnify Your holy name. We exalt You. We give You the glory. We give You the honor. Father God, here are Your people, Lord God. Father God, so many different needs, Lord God. But we know, Lord God, that we can cast all our cares, Lord God, upon You. You're a faithful God. You're a loving God. David came to the point and he says, who in the heavens to be compared to You? So Father God, we acknowledge Jesus. A wonderful Jesus. And a beautiful Holy Spirit. We welcome You. We thank You for Your word, Your precious word. We love You now, Father God. We ask all these things, Lord God. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. And every person says, amen and amen. Do you mind if I just take a little time and just praise me God or praise my God? Glory to God. I know you might be having a rough day today, but I declare that this day is a beautiful day. It's going to change. We declare that all is going to be well. That contract is going to come through. We declare that the house is paid off in full. All right, so let's just praise Him. The scripture says, when the people praise Him, then the earth gave its yield. It yields its increase. So I bless You, Father. We worship You, Father. We give You the glory. We give You the honor. We magnify Your holy name. Yes, Father. We promise we will give You the praise that's due unto Your name. We bless You, Father God. We magnify Your holy name. What a wonderful Jehovah You are. Worship You, Father God. Bless you, Father God. Give you the glory. Give you the honor. Oh, Father God, we need you, Father. Oh, you're such a wonderful Father. We bless your holy name. Come on, let's give him this a little praise. Just say, God, I praise you. God, I magnify your holy name. God, I magnify your holy name. What you're doing is that you're saying, God, I want you to just make yourself at home. He says, where two or three are gathered, he's right there in the midst. Glory to God. I know this is unconventional, but hey, that's what God is. God is an unconventional God. Glory to God. He'll put mud on a man's eye and say, go wash. He's an unconventional God. So he wants an unconventional praise. Glory to God. He's looking for those that will worship him in spirit and in truth. Catch this part here now. Thank you, Father. Come on. Let's go a little deeper. My heart's desire is to give you honor. Every day. I told you, Father, I was going to give you glory. Yes. Glory to God. I don't know about you, but I think I'm kind of losing it here. I'm getting lost in Christ. His love is billowing over like just waves and waves and waves is billowing over into my life. All right, let me just kind of recover from that. All right, give me a second here. Let me recover here. You still there? Okay, good. Well, we've been talking about the hindrance to our prayer. And I believe that there's so many hindrances to our prayers. A lot of times when we pray, we've been believing God for certain things. And we just have not been seeing the manifestation of it. And I've come to the conclusion that the reason why we have not seen the manifestation is because maybe something may be blocking our prayers. Because God says that if you call unto me, I will answer you and I will show you great and mighty things. So God is willing to show you great and mighty things. But on our hand, we have to make sure that we are in line with what God is saying. Excuse me. So as we go through this, we have gone through hindrance. The first one was doubt. We talked about doubt. We know that when we're praying, we should not have any doubt. We should not be wondering if it's going to come to pass. We should already know it's going to come to pass. And there's a proper protocol that we have when we come to God. The second hindrance we talked about was fear. We talked about the acronyms of fear. False evidence appearing real. And we know that God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of love, power, and of a sound mind. Now, what drives out fear? Love. Walking in love. Matured in love. That's what drives. Wherever love is, fear cannot stay. The third thing we talked about was unbelief. Unbelief. Unbelief is a very powerful thing. Imagine this, the Son of the living God, Jesus Christ, came back to his Nazareth, his hometown, and he could not do many miracles there. Why? Because of their unbelief. We see in Hebrews where it talks about unbelief as being an evil heart of unbelief. So that is a hindrance also that may hinder our prayers. We have to get the unbelief out. We have to get the fear out. And we have to get the doubt out. We also talked about unforgiveness, and we talked about how forgiveness and love walks hand in hand. And the scripture says if we don't forgive, then the Father would not forgive us. So we see here that forgiveness is a very important thing. Now today, what I want to talk to you about is sin. A lot of people don't like to talk about this particular subject matter because it says, I don't want to talk about sin. I feel like everything's okay and I'm all right. I don't want to talk about it. But I believe that if there is sin in the camp or sin that is prevalent in your life, then that is a hindrance to God responding to you. I love the character David because David was a practical man. And he was a person that kind of went through ups and downs of life. You just didn't hear the good things about him, but you heard about the time when he sinned against God with Bathsheba. And he did something what God told him not to do. We also see on this his high moments. We see him in his low moments when he went back to Ziklag. And when he went back to Ziklag, his own men that he nurtured, he poured into them, now want to turn around and stone him. Because when they went back to Ziklag, they found out that the enemies had burnt down their city, taken the wives and everything. And it's in that moment we see the characteristics or the character of David now standing strong, that even in the midst of that, he prayed and he believed God. I believe it was God himself that says, David is a man after my own heart. Now, first of all, when we look at the definition of sin, it speaks of a willful breaking of the covenant of what God has said. It's a willful act of doing something what God told you not to do. In other words, it's a rebellion against God. It's a transgression on purpose. You know you're not supposed to do it, and you go ahead and you do it anyway. All right? So we see here that's the definition of sin. Now, when I was looking at, first of all, 1 John chapter 2, verses 1, it gives us something interesting here. Let me go ahead and read it. In St. John's, actually 1 John chapter 2, verses 1, it says, my little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. So wait a minute. You mean that we don't have to sin? I've heard a lot of people say, I cannot help sinning. That's just my nature of sinning. I just can't stop sinning. But according to John right here, he's saying, hey, my little children, these things I write to you. Now, these were written to church people, Christians. It says, so that you may not sin. But catch the rest of this here. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate. What do you mean by advocate? You heard that word. We have an advocate. That means that we have an attorney in law, someone that will defend us. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And he himself is the propitiation. What do you mean by that, Pastor? It means that someone that was standing our place, and he makes us clean. He himself is the propitiation of our sins, and not ourselves, and not ours only, but also for the whole world. We go back a verse, actually a chapter earlier, in verse 1, chapter 1, verse 29. Let's look at it real quick here. Verse 1. We see here, it says that everyone, let's start at verse 2. It says that the life was manifested, we have seen, and bear witness, and declare to you that eternal life, which was the Father, and was manifested unto us, verse 3, this is 1 John chapter 1, verses 3, that which we have seen and heard and declare to you, that you also have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. Now, let's look at this word sin. First of all, let's look at the origin of sin. Where did sin originated from? Now, we have to really take a close look at this. Let's look at Romans chapter 5, verses 18. And it's going to tell us clearly where sin originated from. Are you with me? Glory to God. Now, Romans chapter 5, verses 18. Let's start with 17. For if by one man's offense, death reigned through the one. Now, who do you think they're referring to? That's right, Adam. Much more, those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in the life through the one, Jesus Christ. Verse 18. Therefore, as through one man's offense, judgment came to all men. It's talking about Adam. Resulting in condemnation. Even so, through one man's righteous acts. So we have talking about one man. It speaks of the first man, Adam, and the second man, which is Jesus. So let's read verse 18 again. Therefore, as one man's offense, judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation. Even so, through one man's righteous act, the free gift came to all men, resulting in the justification of life. 19. For as by one man's disobedience, who are they referring to again? Yes, Adam. Because of one man's disobedience, Adam's disobedience, many were made sinners. So also by one man's obedience, many will be made righteous. So we see that it makes it very clear. Let's go back to the definition of sin again. It says sin is a willful breaking of what God has said. It also speaks of rebellion against God. It also speaks of transgression on purpose against the reveal. It says, Pastor, why is this important? Why is this important? Now, I want you to look with me at Psalms chapter 66, verses 18. And we're talking about how sin hinders our prayer, or living a lifestyle of sin, how that has an impact on our prayers being answered. Now, in Psalm 66, verses 18, I want you to read this closely with me. All right, I'm going to read a little slower. It says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, if I regard iniquity, sin in my heart, okay, I got that, the Lord will not hear me. Wow, that's big. Let me read that again. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Now, I see also in Isaiah chapter 1, verses 15, it says, you will spread out your hands, and I'll hide my eyes from you, and make many prayers, and I will not hear you, because your hands are full of blood. Wow. Now, let's go back to now the original. So we see here that the original sin came through Adam's disobedience. You know, God made it very clear. It says, if you touch this tree of knowledge and good of evil and evil, you will surely die. So what happened? Lucifer, the enemy, now comes in and now whispers and says, did God really say that? And they went ahead and they touched the tree. They ate of the fruit. And guess what? They did something willfully, knowing that God told them not to do it. And as a result, because God is a holy God, he's a sacred God, then they could not stand in his presence. That broke the fellowship, that broke that relationship with the living God that Adam had with God. That's the reason why Jesus had to come and had to die for our sins. And now through Jesus Christ, that relationship has been restored. And then Jesus now takes care of sin. He took sin on himself. So we don't have to. Now we have to now go through him to become clean and to become righteous in him. We are the very righteousness of God. Is that too much for you? Okay, just kind of bear with me. So now, what is God's attitude towards sin? What is God's attitude towards sin? I believe that God doesn't want us to live in rebellion against him. And he will give us opportunity to make it right. He will give us opportunity for him to forgive us. He will come time and time again and says, why don't you just cast your cares upon me? Why don't you give me this thing that you're struggling with, and I will take care of it. So God says, I don't want you to be in that condition, but I want you to be free. And I believe the word of God says, whom the Son set free is free indeed. Now let's look at 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 9. 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 9. The scripture says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is longsuffering towards us, not willing that any should perish. The Lord does not want you to perish. He don't want you to continue live in a lifestyle of sin. Let me read the rest of that. But that all should come to repentance. What do you mean by repentance? A turning around, a changing of mind, a changing of direction, a bringing you back to the place where God wants you to be, going back to the penthouse, per se. You see how that works? All right. So I believe that God's attitude towards sin is that he's always looking for us to get back in his rightful place. As a matter of fact, the Word of God says in St. John's, 1 John, it says, if you confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So we establish the fact that sin is a willful act. You did it, and he told you not to do it. Now, how does sin affect us, and what does it do for us? Well, because a lot of times we just kind of flippantly say, oh, God understands. His grace is sufficient. He'll forgive me. I'll just do this and just do this over here. And I know God understands because, yeah, he's that type of God. He's a faithful God. But let's look at how sin is, how God treats sin and how he views sin and how the sin. So first of all, we have to know that sin is a deceiver. Say that with me. Sin is a deceiver. You see in the garden where when Eve was conversing with the enemy, and Eve was saying, will this fruit make me wiser and more clever? And the enemy is like shaking his head, yes. God doesn't want you to eat of this fruit because he know that there's some things that he's not showing you. So the enemy now converses with her. So sin now deceives. If you look at sin, sin deceives. You know, it's just like, for instance, someone is taking drugs, not realizing that drugs is eventually going to kill you. It's going to bring you into a place of bondage. It deceives. You're smoking, for instance, you're smoking that cigarette, knowing that cigarette is going to bring forth cancer. It deceives. All right? So sin is a deceiver. Second thing, sin darkens your understanding. It darkens your understanding. Every time we indulge in sin, doing something that we know that God told us not to do, what happens? It darkens our understanding. And I was taking a look at this, for instance, the scripture, Ephesians chapter 2, verses 3. Let's read. Start at verse 1. And you, he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sin, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, and the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. 3. This is the part I want you to highlight. Among whom also we also conducted ourselves in the lusts of the flesh, of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of our flesh and of the mind, and were nature children of wrath, just as others. So we see here that sin, it darkens our understanding. The lust of the flesh, it darkens our understanding by fulfilling our desires in sin. Third, sin is it defiles us. It's almost taking some rubbish and just taking it into a place that's been set aside for God and just emptying out the garbage, and it stains the carpet, it stains the rug. When we bring sin inside of us, it stains and it defiles. So we look at scriptures like, for instance, Hebrews chapter 10. I want you to turn with me to Hebrews chapter 10, and let's just look at verse 22. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 22. It says, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Why? Because sin is a defiling substance. It defiles us. Fourth, sin makes a slave out of us. Sin makes a slave out of us. And I'm just going to have you turn with me to St. John's chapter 8, verses 34. Are you getting this? I hope you are. Because I believe that as we get these things addressed, we address the sin, something that we know that God has told us not to do, and we continue doing it over and over and over, and we say, oh, God understands. And God says, no, I want you to deal with that sin. Now let's do like a side note real quick here. We see here, remember the scripture where Joshua took over the reins from Moses. And God told Joshua, hey, wherever your feet tread, I'm going to give it to you. I'm going to give you success. As a matter of fact, he sat Joshua down and says, this book of the law, I want you to meditate in day and night, and you are going to make your way successful. We see now this same Joshua, he went on a series of battles. First one, he went towards Jericho. And we see now God gave them some clear directives and says, hey, when we go to Jericho, when you've gained the victory, the articles, the golds, the silver, the garments that are costly, I want you to set those apart for God. I don't want you to touch them. And we see during the process that someone secretly went in, and when they were going through Jericho, they took some items. I believe this was Achan. He took some items, brought it back to their tent, dug a hole, put it in the hole, and told no one. When they went to Ai, we see that they were defeated. As a matter of fact, they drove them out of the land. They beat them down really bad. And Joshua ripped his clothes and said, what happened? I thought we were supposed to have success. And then God came to Joshua and said, hey, someone has brought some defiled things into the camp. In other words, someone has brought sin into the camp, and now it's affecting the camp. You see how that goes? And as they addressed it, they've addressed it very carefully. And God was giving us a picture that the fact that sin, how it affects our prayers, it affects our lives. Well, my time has come to an end. Didn't get a chance to even go through this. But I believe that this was a time where you can just kind of do an introspect and begin to start looking on the inside. The scripture says, let a man examine himself. We have to now look in ourselves, and just like David says, is Lord, is there anything inside of me that is sinful? Please remove it. Please cleanse me. Please wash me so that I, when I come to you and pray to you, there will be no hindrance. You see how that goes? Well, may God richly bless you. And I'm so thankful. And until next week, I pray that God's hand will be upon you. His favor will be upon you. We also ask you to come in just to visit us. Call us at 561-383-6574. And also go on our website, maranathainter.org. And also, I want you to come and sow into this ministry. Right now, we're looking for a building where we can house and be a blessing to this neighborhood. We thank you. All right. Have a good day. God bless.
Maranatha Assembly International, a church of worship, the word and healing.
Welcome to the Living Word Radio Broadcast, brought to you by Maranatha International, a church of worship, the word and healing. Join us for our Sunday services from 10 a.m. to 12 noon. For locations and to sow a seed into this radio ministry, visit our website at maranathainter.org or call 561-383-6574, 561-383-6574.
Maranatha Assembly International, a church of worship, the word and healing.
Portions of WCNO's broadcast day are underwritten by Palm Beach Ironworks, specializing in structural steel fabrication and installation. Palm Beach Ironworks also provides machine shop services, welding, press brake, shear and brake, and they work with steel, stainless steel, or aluminum. Located at 7768 Belvedere Road in West Palm Beach, Palm Beach Ironworks can be reached at 561-683-1816.